You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags!
Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2 has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people above them, and everybody else in between, throwing it down. We're kicking it. And I see now a check mark next to my name on Twitter. Somebody asked me in the chat earlier today on the television show. They said, hey, Morenci, are you verified on Twitter? And I answered live on the show. And I said, no, I am not. I said, no, I'm not verified. And I said, quite frankly, I don't really need to be. I don't need a blue check mark next to my name. And he tells me, he goes, I think you are. And I said, no, I'm not. I don't know what you're talking about. But I go on Twitter after, and evidently I am verified on Twitter. So there's a blue check mark next to my name now. And I got to tell you, I don't like it. Like, am I supposed to be, like, more responsible now or something? Like, that's, you know what I mean? Is it more official? You know what's crazy, though? It is true. I think I picked up, like, 500 followers tonight. So what, people just blindly follow the check mark? Oh, my God. Is it, like, people just, they follow the check mark? Hey, look, it's verified. Must be real. See, now that I'm verified, I must be more official. I gotta be more official with what I tweet. See, Alanis Morissette is complaining. Alanis Morissette bashes her HBO documentary Jagged. That was not the story I agreed to tell, says Alanis Morissette. Listen, Alanis. If I was running HBO, I gotta tell you what, I'm not doing a special on you, all right? So I don't want to sound cold here, but you're Alanis Morissette. You had one song about sleeping with some loser from some loser sitcom show. I like Alanis Morissette, but you should be thanking HBO that you're in the news right now, Alanis. Like, really? Like, Alanis Morissette's complaining? Like, are you kidding me? Earl Skakel will join us later, and we'll get into the passing of Norm MacDonald. Really, really funny guy. So I had a poll question. I asked you guys on Twitter here, and we've got a lot of responses. Suddenly I'm getting more responses now because, oh, I'm verified. We asked you guys, nice and simple, what are your best bets for week 2 NFL? We got a ton of responses flying in here in the late night hours. Degenerate Dean, fight resistance, says, I know it was an NFL question, Morenci, but this is my best bet. And this guy went hardcore. He went for the public. He went for the big team banger here. All money line. Alabama, Army, Ohio State, Iowa State, Clemson, Georgia, Cleveland Browns, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 8-team money line parlay. Minus 164. I actually like your parlay. Florida's not beating Alabama. UConn couldn't beat a Pop Warner football team, let alone Army. Tulsa's going to get murdered this week in Columbus. Iowa State's going to take out a lot of frustration on UNLV. Clemson's not losing to Georgia Tech. The late night anger management class. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mean Gene. It's level 2. Let's do this thing. Andrew McKinnon's going to step up and in from Wager Talk. We'll talk NFL football, maybe a little CFL football as well. Football. We've been killing the CFL over the last couple of weeks. We've been doing very well collegiately. NFL, the Sunday wasn't great, wasn't terrible, and then we crushed it last night. We've got Thursday night football, of course, New York Giants and the Washington football team. I've already put my play in. I've got the Washington football team -3 points. Breaking news in the National Football League tonight is that the New Orleans Saints have 8 people that have tested positive for COVID. Yet, it's 8, like, I don't know. Is it the trainer? Is it the cheerleaders? Is it the quarterback? Is it the coaches? We don't know. We don't know. We'll find out in the coming days as far as the Saints are concerned. But I already got my play in, and I can tell you, the sportsbooks haven't reacted to this. So, and sportsbooks know all. So I'm assuming that they believe that there's nothing impactful about to go down here
in this football game. But I'm looking forward to Thursday night football. Baseball's cool, but football's where we make our money. We crushed the preseason, if you recall, 27-14 in the preseason. And we look to keep this going right now. And the college puzzle. This stuff's all a puzzle, right? It's like every week you look at the new lines and it's like, all right, it's all just jumbled, bunch of pieces. Then the puzzle starts to come together. And one of the pieces of the puzzle, we talked about the USC Trojan game earlier. I could see the Trojans beating up on Washington State, but I don't like laying points on the road like that. I like taking, more of a taker. Give me the Purdue Boilermakers. Purdue plus the points. Purdue plus the points against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And I just don't. You look at Notre Dame, and listen, Notre Dame's offense is good. All right, Notre Dame can put points up on the board. We saw them put points up on the board against Florida State, although Jacksonville State beat Florida State. We saw Notre Dame put points up on the board against Toledo, albeit only 32, and collegially it's not that much. Yet Purdue can play. Like, put it this way, guys. Notre Dame went to overtime with Florida State, who are terrible, might not be able to beat UConn, and they got taken to the brink by a MAC team. And now you got a good Big Ten team coming in here, getting 7.5 points. Boiler up, baby. Boiler up. Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Welcome to the 117th dust-up between the snorting swine of Springfield A&M and the Springfield University Nittany Tide. Oh, doctor, break out the hickory switch.
Got Alanis Morissette and one of my ex-girlfriends look the exact same right now. It kind of just freaked me out. I see Alanis Morissette. I'm like, dear God, I must feel like I'm going out with Alanis Morissette right now. I am not Alanis Morissette. If you're wondering why I'm talking about her, she's complaining about her HBO documentary. You know, like I said, she should be happy that anybody's even talking about her. Norm Macdonald passed away. That sucks. We'll get into that with Earl Skakel a little bit later on. Let's bring in Andrew McKinnis. Wager talk in the house. McKinnis, always a pleasure. How you doing tonight?
Great to be here, Gabe. Doing good. How are you?
Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm all right. We've been rolling along. So listen, I asked people on Twitter, McKinnis. I'm just loading up the question here. I asked people on Twitter, Sports Rage poll, and you can follow me on Twitter at Sports Rage. Nice and simple, at Sports Rage. What's your best bets for week two? So I just wanted to throw out some of these tweets. And let me just conclude, because I was talking about a parlay that somebody sent in that they played. It's an 18 banger, McKinnis. And it's one of the big-time college moneyline ones. So Alabama to beat Florida, check mark. Alabama's going to beat Florida. Army to beat UConn, yes. Ohio State to beat Tulsa, yes. Money lines. Iowa State is at UNLV. They're in Vegas this week. They're going to kill UNLV. Whatever. UNLV have actually been scrappy, but Iowa State will beat them. Clemson versus Georgia Tech. Georgia to beat South Carolina, and then the Cleveland Browns and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's an 18 banger at minus 164. That's not for everybody, but you know, man, you guys love your parlays. That's the best bets. Now Nicholas fires one in here. Here's another parlay. You guys need your damn parlays. Well, this is a big one. Buffalo Bills. All right, no, not parlay. It's just the games that he likes. He says Buffalo Bills. -3.5, San Francisco 49ers, -3.5, Arizona minus the points in Kansas City. All right, Nicholas is a chalk guy. He likes chalk. Our boy Andy in Montreal says he's on Tampa Bay, minus the points. Rico in Toronto. Says he's taking the Saints minus the points. Our main man, Doug in Chicago. Doug in the Slugs. What's up, Doug? Rodgers not playing with his normal enthusiasm. I'm taking the Lions plus the 11.5. I might be insane, but give me the points. Wow. Our boy Dan in Pittsburgh also. You guys in your parlays. San Francisco money line. Rams money line. Dolphins money line. All right, I can't go on, Dan. I'm a Bills fan. Wrong. Wrong.
Gabe, what about the guy that said, whatever your best bet is, my best bet? And I loved your response. You just said, that's a lot of pressure, man.
Yeah, I know. What
was it? I like it. It was a cool
I don't know. I want people's opinions. Yeah, you're right. I asked, what's your best bet? Some guy, the Crippler. What's up, Crippler? Crippler, very kind of him. He says, whatever your best bet is, it's going to be my best bet. Then he's got a bunch of money bags there. That's a lot of pressure, McInnes. I better win for the guy now, you know?
Money bags, too. Not just one money bag, man. That's a lot of money bags.
Yeah, five money bags. What do you want, $5,000? All right. This is the king. I don't know where he's from. Says that Cowboys money line and spread. TJ... says he's a homer. He's in New York. Give me the Giants plus the points with a money line sprinkle. Wow. Wow. That's bold. Okay, let's start off with some NFL football. What are you looking at so far this week? What games catch your eye the most?
Yeah, there's one game that's super interesting to me, and I actually came up with a total pick for it that I'm curious your thoughts, because I know that you had the Lions, right, Gabe? I saw you, like, doubling up. I saw you tweeting about it. You got them live, right? You had the Lions in week one.
Yeah, I took the Lions before the game, just as the game started, plus the 8.5. And then when they were down, I don't know why, McInnes. I did it. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. It's lucky it worked out. I took them again when they were down, bro. I'm like, I don't care that they're down. The Lions are still going to cover the number. And then I got them at 11.5. And then they ended up covering. Well, go on with your question, and then I'll ask you a question. But what's your question?
Yeah, so look, the only reason why I bring that up, Gabe, is that I'm looking at the under in the Niners game. You know, we have the Eagles and the Niners going head-to-head, and this is the thing. I think it's such typical week two pick where we had two teams score up in bunches, make it look easy. Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts looked super impressive. Jalen Hurts is a guy that's had a lot of, he's had a tough way of getting here, and he really performed well in week one. And I just feel like everyone's going to look at these two teams and be like, yeah, over teams. San Francisco, big over team. But if you look at it, I think it's just a great week two spot to bet an under, because if you look at it, let's be honest here, 41 points from this Niners team, great offense from them. But that second quarter decided the football game. The second quarter in Detroit decided the football game. And maybe people might not believe me, and I know you back from the Lions, why I brought it up, might not believe me, but I think San Fran took their foot off the gas pedal. They took their foot off the gas pedal defensively. So everyone's going to buy into that, oh, yeah, San Fran stopped trying. It's not playing defense. They're going to be a big over team. Well, I'm not really too into that because, like, I don't really know what that second half meant. If you're up that many points, the 16 points from the Lions in the fourth quarter, I don't really think it's that big of a deal. And for the Eagles, the question we have to ask ourselves, are the Eagles that good, or did the Falcons just suck? Because, I feel like some people like the Falcons and some people just think they're absolutely horrible. And I think it's number two. So I look at this game, and I think the under is actually a really solid play. And I can see many people jumping towards the over just off an overreaction.
Isn't week two of the NFL always fascinating? I'm Gabriel Morenzi, kicking it with Andrew McInnes, WagerTalk.com in the house with us. Because we don't know what we saw, what to take from week one. What does it mean? Just because a team was bad doesn't mean they're good or bad and vice versa, etc. You know what I'm saying? Like, team can look really good and end up being terrible. A team can be terrible. And look, all we need to know, guys, look, think about last year, guys. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost week one to the New Orleans Saints. They won the Super Bowl, right? They lost week one. Right, they also got smoked on Monday night or Thursday night football, whatever it was, or Sunday night, whatever the hell it was. They got murdered, absolutely killed. So it's a good point that you raise. I don't know, though. I like the Lions on their home field. Green Bay are going to be in a bad mood, but it's too many points. It's still too many points. But back to the, and you know, I know you weren't going in that direction with that game. You were talking about San Francisco. I do agree with you. San Francisco were in control. They took the pedal off the metal. It is what it is. They got the win. They, you know what I mean? They still ended up winning by 8 points, and people are like acting like they lost or something like that. So they still ended up winning by 8 points. They lose Verrett. They lose Mostert. Mostert's out for the year. I think they can absorb these losses. It's not ideal. But I do agree with something that you said, you touched on. And Donnie Wrightside, who's a Philadelphia Eagle fan, was with us on television earlier in the day. And he said, guys, the Eagles didn't even play that well. The Atlanta are just that bad. So, like, when you ask the question, what is it, A or B, I think it might just be the Atlanta. Like, put it this way, because the Philadelphia Eagles aren't on the same class as the San Francisco 49ers. Let's be real. I mean, it's tough. It's two road games in a row for the Niners, but they're so damn good. I like the Niners to win that game. But you think it's going to be a lower-scoring game?
I think we'll see longer drives. Yeah, I think we'll see less successful drives out of the Eagles, especially. I'm with you on the Niners, but I just when I was going through the card, Gabe, and I found this spot, I just really thought it was one of those things where people overreact, bet the over based on what they saw. Eagles aren't good. The Falcons are just bad.
It's a high number. It's 50.5. Yet Steve Merrill was with us earlier, and as Steve stated, it's really hard, man, to step up and say, give me an under in an NFL football game nowadays. San Francisco, 3.5-point favorites, total 50.5. More with McInnes on the other side. NFL, we'll talk some CFL as well. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We came here to play.
All right.
He'll lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it.
Mo, $23 on New York.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. And I just saw that Burt Reynolds was trending on Twitter. And he's trending on Twitter because of Norm MacDonald. As we stated earlier, the Norm MacDonald, Burt Reynolds stuff is just gold from Saturday Night Live. One of the funniest, it's a Jeopardy skit in which Will Ferrell is Alec Trebek and Norm MacDonald is Burt Reynolds. It was a great comedian. So we'll talk more about Norm MacDonald. And actually, Andrew McInnes is a Montreal Canadiens fan. Norm MacDonald is a diehard Montreal Canadiens fan. People don't realize that he was born in Quebec City. So McInnes, kicking with his wager talk in the house. I'm just thinking about this football game. And when you're betting in Tulsa, what's your final score projection? It's early in the week right now. So I usually do this a little later in the week. But if you're liking the under, what's the ballpark? Like, what kind of game are you looking at here?
Well, I'm with you, and I think the Niners win the game. I think the Niners win and cover. I don't think the Eagles get any more than like 14 points.
Wow, so, 14. Because I can see. I'm with you. If I had to bet the total, what's your score?
Sorry, I was just saying like where I think the Eagles would go. You're putting me on the spot here. I don't know. I think.
Well, you're betting under, so you got to have a score. What's the score going to be?
Give me.
Doesn't have to be exact.
14.
All right, so you say 23. So you think they're only going to get into the 30s? All right, so that's bold.
Maybe we'll see 20s. I'm telling you, man, this is a strong play for me this week. I just think. Well, then again, we saw how impressive they were against Detroit. It's just like if you said it before, Gabe. You're in the week two, and you don't really know what to think of either team because you can only base it off one game. And San Fran playing Detroit, they walked all over them. Maybe we'll see San Fran get up to 27 points. But like I said, I feel like we're going to see a lot longer possessions, the clock get milked out a lot more in this game. You know, it's just funny. I watch back. I've been really starting to watch back games a lot more. And you look at the Eagles' drives, and it looked like a mixtape out there. You know, I used to actually have a small business where I used to film. Basketball players would pay me to go to their games, and I'd film and create mixtapes. And coaches would get those and say, dude, we don't want this. Like, anybody can look good in a mixtape. That's what it looked like for both these two teams in week one.
That's a good, yeah. Yeah.
It was just against easy defenses. So maybe that was kind of bizarre. You know, it's just 23 points. But I'm just saying, I feel like it's going to be a lot lower on both sides.
I look at this and I don't know. Like, I'm not judging your pick, bro, right? Like, so no, I'm not taking it that way. I don't know. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Philadelphia scored 17 points and lost 27-17 type thing, right? 24-17, 27-17 in that range. I could see that, like, getting into the mid-40s type thing. Like, 27-20. 27-20, you still win. Like, 15.5 is quite a few points. But at the same point in time, it also wouldn't surprise me if San Francisco won 34-21. Right? Like, will Philadelphia be able to stop them? I don't know. Right? Like, Philadelphia's defense isn't very good, but the Atlanta Falcons are that bad. I know they held them to 6 points. I actually, you know what I like about this game, guys? And for the record, McKinnis on the under 50.5. I already played San Francisco -3 in this game. I bought the half point, so I already played it at 3 because I think it can only go up. But I actually think, number one, there's a couple of positive things. I think defensively it could help you, McKinnis, that they took the pedal off the metal late in that game, right? And you know that bothers the coaching staff. They gave up 33 points, man. Right? They got soft. They took the pedal off the metal. It's not that they're not good.
Absolutely.
But that just bothers coaches. You stop trying. Like, you guys took the pedal off the metal. Right? So they'll have a little bit of, you know, hey, guys, the last quarter we were on the field, we got torched. Right? Let's tighten this thing up a little bit here. We can't play around like this. And I like the fact that Philadelphia won, McKinnis. That gets San Francisco's attention even more, right? Like, the coaching staff, everyone can say, look, guys, they smoked Atlanta last week. This is no joke. It's not going to be easy. And Jalen Hurts is good. Well, Jalen Hurts, is he a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? I don't know. Probably not. No, but he's a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And we live in a fantasy world. He's hard to stop, right? Like, he's like Kyler Murray. I mean, he's going to run around. He's going to make plays. He's going to make plays, but he will make mistakes if you pressure him. And I think San Francisco can. So I'm undecided on the total, but I'm standing pat here with the 49ers -3, McKinnis.
Well, it's funny, Gabe, because you asked me that, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, well, what was I thinking earlier? I was doing my write-up on the game, and I'm like, what was I thinking? And you know, you're just making me like the Niners, because what you're saying for me, my reasoning, it's true, you know? And I'm actually logged into my page right now reading what I wrote about the game, and I'm like, dude, you like the Niners too. Like, just bet them too. Because that's based on my analysis, based on what I've, you know. And the funny thing is, though, is that one thing you said there about the fact that, first of all, Philadelphia won the game, I like that you said that, but also the way they ended the game, that was a huge factor to myself for the Niners, right? Like, what were you guys doing at the end of this game? Like, that's not, you can't do that. It's week one. So they're not going to be impressed with how many points they put on the board. They're going to, coaches are kind of, you know, these guys are getting paid millions. They're not going to walk in the locker room and pat you on the back and say, hey, guys, 40 points, good job. They're going to say, what the hell was that in the fourth quarter, right? But I think it's a good point you raised about the Eagles getting that win. And let's be honest, coaches watch film, and they watch it from the past, but they also watch it from week one. And they're going to look and see Jalen Hurts looking like a gamer, a guy that can rush the ball, a guy that can find his targets. And these touchdown passes weren't just 5-yard passes, Gabe. They were nice touchdown passes, and he had some great throws. So, it's a great point you raised there, and I feel like sometimes if a team's going off a more competitive victory, an impressive victory, it'll make the other team buckle down even more.
Andrew McKinnis, Wager Talk with us. San Francisco are a dangerous football team. They're going to handle their business. They know the division that they're in, too. That's another thing. They're in a division in which no one lost. There's no room for error. Like, there really is not a lot of room for error in this division this year, man. And I've talked about it, because I don't care if it's week 1 or if it's week 15, whether it's week 12, every damn game counts. Every game counts, and there's tiebreakers, and there's just all kinds of stuff that comes into play all the time that you don't want to risk. And if you're San Francisco, you're in a really good spot here to be able to start off with two wins in your back pocket on the road, right? And that's big time. That's big time. Suddenly you've got 15 games left, and you know, you've got a bunch of home games coming up, and you're already 2-0. What a division this is this year. What a division. I see we've got the president of the Jimmy G fan club in the house, the closer, Chris Ventra, stepping up and in for Brooklyn. And we got Martinez, who's in the Bay Area, who's actually a 49er fan. I'm a 49er fan myself right now, McKinnis, because I got money on him at plus 190 to win a division.
Good bet.
We'll find out.
I'll ask you this, Gabe, but you ever? How do you feel about you know, the back-to-back road game to start the season off? I know a few people I've spoken with, they like that for chemistry, for camaraderie.
Oh, it's great.
Team building. Even at the pro level, I find that stuff very important. And you can get off, you can get two wins, start the season off on the road. Home's going to feel great.
I agree with you. I think it's great that you pad. I was going to say they have eight home games, but I don't know, because there's that roving 17th game now. So you're going to alternate, right? One time you'll have, like, as nine home games and vice versa, right? Seven home games.
Right.
Eight home games. So, like, it's confusing now with that last game. So I don't know. Some teams have nine home games. Some teams have eight home games, right, this year. So I'm not really sure about San Francisco, to be honest.
I heard you talking earlier about the home field advantage and how it's changed over the past couple years.
It doesn't mean anything.
I find it really interesting for every single sport, but for NFL, you look at it. I mean, first of all, these oddsmakers are so sharp. They're taking it into account. They know what they're doing. But I want to ask you, the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, that was just the weirdest game of football. It was an unbelievable fourth quarter, turnover here, weird play here, a pass was off a helmet. Are there certain teams that you'll still put and take home field into account a little bit more? Because I will say that Vegas team on the road against Pittsburgh here, I'll be looking to bet on Vegas at home more than on the road, that's for sure. I actually like Pittsburgh here. It's a chalky play, -5.5. But I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Any thoughts on that game, Gabe, before I get into it?
It's 5.5, so, you know, I hate 5.5. So it's a weird number. I don't want to lay it. No, it didn't jump off the page of me. And I was all over, I went 9-1 in that Raider game last night. I will agree with you in a sense.
Sweet.
The Raiders might be that sort of one. Maybe they will have a home field there. It is, you know what I mean? They're crazy. It's loud as hell. It was really, really, you know what I mean? There is something there. We'll keep our eye on it. But there was so much talk, and we've spent so much talking about this over the last couple of years due to the pandemic, about fans and non-fans. And I remember coming into the pandemic, and we use European soccer as the example of what's the difference with fans and not fans. In soccer, it did matter. It did matter. And home field. But the NFL, it's been a couple of years now, guys, even before the pandemic, in which every year home field meant less and less. And it's a debate we've had, McKinnis, a lot. I've asked a lot of people the question this year, is home field still worth 3 points? Is home field worth 3 points? Because it used to be automatic. You bake it into the cake. It's 3 points in the point spread because of home field for the most part. And clearly the answer is no. No, it's not. And we have the classic example and case in point on the other side, Moore and McKinnis. Late Night Anger Management Class continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
I can't believe we're on the Canadian Olympic basketball team. Yep, it's just that easy.
Wow, that was close. You can be the center.
Late Night Anger Man. That's just too good. That was close, eh? Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're kicking it with Andrew McKinnon's Wager Talk. So I tell you what, here's an interesting number for trend players. Some people like trends. Some people don't care about them. But we like to cover all the bases. And I think me and McKinnon sort of think the same way. Like, if you played sports, you sort of understand some other angles, right, McKinnis? You know what I mean? And, definitely. Like, the common person doesn't really think about it, about, like, what are the players thinking? What's the mentality in the room? Like, as we talked about, like, if you're San Francisco, you didn't end that game well. You don't like that. You got a bad taste in your mouth. Like, coaches are going to rip the DBs, and then everyone say, look at this. You got soft in the third quarter, man. And when you're getting ripped for being soft all week, then you're going to come out, you know what I mean? There's that sort of element. But we look at everything. We look at a human element. Let's look at a number element. This is something I find interesting here, too. So Sirianni won his first game, right? He's the head coach, his first ever game. NFL coaches that win their NFL debut by more than 21 points the following week, they're 3-9 straight up, 2-9-1 against the spread. And in fact, the last seven coaches that made their NFL debut and won by 21 or more points failed to cover. 0-7 against the spread the last seven times. Sets up nicely. See, trends, McKinnis, I don't know how you feel about trends. Like, if you like something and the trend affirms it, then it's a good trend. If the trend is like the opposite of what you like, then it's like, God, trends don't mean anything.
Well, I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't make plays off trends, but a trend will make me like a play more, if that makes any sense. And a trend won't really talk me off it, but it will make me maybe think a little bit more about it. But it would never really. A trend is, if anything, is going to just back it up. It's going to help the write up. It's going to help the presentation of the pick. You know, I find the trends. It's different per sport. Also, I find it hilarious when people use trends dating back to, like, you know, before I was on this earth, because, you know, how much has each game changed that we're talking about every night?
You know, that's a good question. Hold on. For the people tuning in, that's a good question. So when it comes to teams, McKinnis, the trend is only as good with the coaching staff.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the coaching staff. So, like, if the Ravens, it says, all right, like, put it this way. It's irrelevant about what Brian Billick's record was on Monday Night Football. Brian Billick, for younger people, just for the record, was the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens many years ago, early 2000s when they won the Super Bowl, right? That's irrelevant. Like, who cares? Like, what difference does it make what Billick's record against the spread was and Trent Dilfer, et cetera, and Elvis Gerbach? Has nothing to do with anything. Yet, John Harbaugh does. It's his team. That's his trend. So it's to say, you go by coaches. But a good example, McKinnis, is last night. Raiders. I was all over the Raiders plus the points. I had them on the money line as well. But the Raiders, and there was a trend that in week one, Monday night home dogs cover 67% of the time. And they're now 39-18 against the spread. Home dogs, week one, Monday night football. So that's a different trend. It has a historical perspective that works. But when it comes to teams, I just say, nah, it's just the coach. You know what I mean? It's just the coach. So what else?
Here's an example of what you're just talking about right now.
Yeah.
John Gruden. Remember yesterday when they could have gone for a field goal that would have made that game just not end up going to overtime? Remember that? And they didn't get it on fourth down?
Yep.
That's per each coach. Every coach is different. So to me, what happened in that play, and obviously so many plays each week, completely just makes the point that you just gathered. Because
yeah, it's the
not
coach.
The statistics based on the team. It's based on decisions the coaching staff made. Because the guy before him might have gone for the field goal in that spot, and all those stats change.
Yeah, but it's like college trends, too. It's totally the coach, right? It's not an Alabama trend. It's a Nick Saban trend. They're Nick Saban's teams. It's like there's a reason why in college they say, you know, it's Coach Krzyzewski versus Coach Roy Williams. The kids are just there. Like, you know what I mean? They're playing the system of the coach. We're betting on the coach when it comes to college. So anything else in the NFL? I know that's the one game you've got circled, and I do respect that about you. You don't come in and, like, just throw – you know, if you don't really like something, you're not going to, you know, put your name on it. But what you actually, I know you had the Raiders and the Steeler game on your list. So what about that one? So you like the under and the Eagles Niners games. What about that Raiders Steeler game? Is that on your list?
It is. Look, I do like the Steelers minus 5.5. I don't love these 5.5s just like you listed. But, you know, I had yesterday I had the completion prop with Derek Carr. And many people are saying that he had a great closeout to that game. But I personally think that if you watched every single snap that he played and every single throw that he made, it was not really an impressive first half, that's for sure. Third quarter was okay.
But his accuracy was a little off all night. It just was. He was always thrown behind people when they were running. He was always throwing them behind him. But, and there's, you know, there's a couple, but he had a masterful performance, right? I mean, the leadership skills that he showed, leading the team down the field twice like that late. There was a play once where he should have called an audible and he didn't, but. Listen, Derek Carr, he wasn't the most accurate quarterback, but all you need to know is Derek Carr threw for the second most yards in Monday Night Football history besides Patrick Mahomes last night. But I can't disagree. I think Pittsburgh have a chip on their shoulder, and they're tired. They do. Like, people say they suck, right? They were 11-0 last year. People laugh at them. They got their ass handed to them. Buffalo took them lightly. Buffalo up 10-0, and they took the pedal off the metal. You can just see that Pittsburgh do have a chip on their shoulder. I'd like to ask one of your colleagues, Ralph Michaels. He would know, what's the trend of a Monday night football team from the West Coast playing on Monday night and then playing an early start on the East Coast on Sunday? I'm assuming it's not good, especially coming off a win. Especially coming off a win.
Yeah. I was going to say, I bet you it's not very good. And definitely, what you just said there, Gabe, that's why I wanted to say, you know, great closeout to the game, leadership abilities. I'm not trying to get myself turned into a meme here, because he had a great...
Yeah, you're going
to
say Derek Carr, is that what you're saying?
Derek Carr sucks? Yeah, exactly. I'm not exactly. My whole point, though, I think that he's going to be under duress. You and I both know the great pass rush the Steelers have. It's just unbelievable, the pressure they put on them. And... you know, it's a very simple and cliche thing, but defense wins games. And I think that game was just so sloppy between the Ravens and the Raiders. We're going to see the Steelers control the game. I truthfully think that they're going to try and establish the run game. I know they're a huge throw team, their passing team, though. They led the league pretty much last year, and for a large part of it, in completions per game with Big Ben. They have countless targets, talented receivers. I just think this game's a lot different than the Raiders' home game against the Ravens. And I look at Derek Carr on the run against the Ravens' pass rush, and I just fear for him when that Steelers' pass rush was up against him. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of mistakes made by both teams, the Ravens and the Raiders, in that game, and they were able to get bailed out. We'll see. I mean, let's remember, there's lots of chances for the Raiders to get up in that game too, but also the Ravens made countless mistakes. Did you expect Lamar Jackson to fumble the ball twice? Did you expect some of these receivers, just to, you know, Mark Andrews, to drop a few passes? I didn't.
No, well, it's week one, right? It's week one, so you don't know. The Raiders just sort of, they find a way. And I think you raised a good point. The Raiders are definitely a playoff team at home. Like, teams are going to have a hard time going in there. And the Raiders, they throw it around everywhere. But I can't disagree as far as Pittsburgh. All right, McKay. So listen, I'm looking for CFL lines. Yeah, any numbers anywhere? I don't see any numbers.
At -3.5 Hamilton, 3.5 Saskatchewan, Pickham and BC Montreal, and 6.5 Winnipeg over Edmonton. That's what I'm seeing so far. Just one or two shops, really, Gabe, so far.
Yeah. Okay, so Calgary's at Hamilton on Friday night. And what did you say? So Hamilton's what's the total? So Hamilton's 3.5 or 3, and what is it?
Yeah, Hamilton 3.5. Total is 41.5.
41.5.
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty low, huh?
So we've got Dane Evans, who was backing up Jeremiah Masoli. He's injured now as well. They're worried about his health. They don't know what the status is, so they're going to a third stringer. We got Calgary. They're wondering what their situation is. Obviously, Bo Levi's back, but
I haven't been too impressed with them recently, especially compared to other people.
Well, what are you talking about? They kicked the crap. They kicked the crap out of the Eskimos last week. I won money on it. The Elks, sorry, my bad. The Elks. They destroyed
them. That's a home and home. I don't care. Look at the week before that, what happened. I mean, Bo Levi's back. I understand that, but...
Are you going to concede that the Elks suck? That, you know, they're not this team, that whatever? Like, you're ripping Calgary that just beat them.
Well, I guess it's because I didn't have money on that game, and I had a boatload on the Elks the week before. So
did I.
About that, I guess.
Yeah, but you know what? I guess I'm smarter because I had the Elks, and then I came back with the Stamps. Right? But
I went undefeated in the CFL. I didn't go, you know, I had a good week, but I didn't play Calgary. So I guess, yeah, you went 2-0 and played both teams both weeks. I respect it.
Yeah, back to back. I've been killing the CFL. Yeah. Like, I know Edmonton's all right. Listen, they're all right, but they're not good. I think Calgary's actually going to start to come together, to be honest with you. All right, so you got Toronto. What's the line here? Toronto at Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan 3.5, total 42.5.
Yeah. Saskatchewan will beat them. I was on Toronto in their last game. On the money line, too, right? So what, they won by one? I think Saskatchewan will beat them. BC at Montreal. What's the total of the BC-Montreal game?
Sorry, just 1 second. BC-Montreal, 48.5. And that game's a pick'em.
That's kind of reasonable. I've been really good with the BC Lions. I've only gotten one game wrong this year. Wow, this is a tough one. My gut tells me Montreal's going to beat them. Who you like there? Montreal's going to win.
My gut tells me just take the over. You know, it's the highest game on the board, highest total on the board by a mile. But I think they're going to see a lot of points. That'll be an exciting game. I mean, think about it. We got 41.5 Winnipeg-Edmonton, 41.5 Calgary-Hamilton, 42.5 Toronto-Saskatchewan, and then BC-Montreal, 48.5.
And yeah, I lost track.
These two teams,
I lost track of the totals. What's the numbers now? It was 12 and 3.
And oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, McKinnis, I'm trying to say. 41.5. What are you trying to say? I'm talking about on the season. No.
Okay.
No, I don't lose track of conversations. What's it on the season? It was 12 and 3 to the under going into last week. And I think it was 2-2 last week. Off the top of my head, was it 2-2? So, what are we now? 14-5. So, yeah, 14-5 to the under in the league. I think it's going over. I think a lot of these games are going to start to go over, actually. I think the over party's done. All right, we'll wrap up with McKinnis on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three-minute warning, level two. This is Sports Rage. Earl Skakel will join us from West Hollywood in a couple of moments. We'll talk about the life and career, the tragic, sad passing of Norm Macdonald. He had a hell of a run, but 61's a little young. It's too bad we didn't get more of his comedic genius out of him. So, McKinnis, before we get you out of here, you can find Andrew McKinnis, McKinnis Picks on Twitter. Find him over at wagertalk.com. We're now less than 1 month away from the start of the National Hockey League season. Hard to believe. Feels like just yesterday I was in Montreal watching the Stanley Cup Finals, and here we are right now. And I got to get readjusted, McKinnis, because last year in the pandemic, they different divisions and all that, so we're back. And FanDuel's got futures up already. They've got division odds up. They've got overall futures. And for the record, once again, it's amazing. The Colorado Avalanche have become the new Toronto Maple Leafs, where they're favored every year and they never win every year. So the Colorado Avalanche, how the hell are the Avalanche favored over the Lightning? I'll tell you right now. I'll throw it out here. We're a month away. Tampa, they're gonna win again. They're going to win again. They're going to win three in a row. It's going to be a mini dynasty. How do you beat that team? No one's beating that team.
Yeah, what I find interesting about it, Gabe, is that every year people think that, you know, they're not going to be able to afford these players, so they're not going to be as good this year. And then last year they had the whole LTIR situation. And then this year they had to trade away so many guys, or a couple different guys, but then they picked up some great guys. That's the thing about great teams. People want to go to you. People want to sign with you. People don't demand huge paydays with you because they want to win hockey games and they want to win in general. So that's definitely in their corner right now, man. People are signing with them. One thing that's kind of funny, I'm sure you saw this. Guess who signs with the Tampa Bay Lightning? Loses to them in the finals 2 years in a row. Corey Perry signed
with
the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I can't believe the Canadians didn't just give him a stupid $1 million or whatever the hell he wanted. Andrew McKinnis, wager talk. Hey, I'm getting fired up here. I already like this. Colorado overrated. Vegas are the third choice. Vegas suck. The Toronto Maple Leafs are like, they choke harder than Jenna Jameson ever did. Give it a Tampa Bay Lightning, 6-1. Thanks, McKinnis. Late night anger management class continues. Bring it. Okay.